as many people in our community and to have a church that's large enough with a building that we could offer ministries for children, youth, all ages, including seniors. Also that we could spread the gospel and spread the good news. Every person in our community deserves an opportunity to receive Jesus into their heart, but also beyond our community. So we have been a part of supporting missionaries, sending missionaries, and we've talked about church planting a lot over the years, that someday God would help lead Oakdale to plant a church. In fact, we resisted building this building for years because, well, let's just plant a church in another city. And we finally came back to, no, let's build this building, but someday we're going to be part of that. And so then Scott and Crystal, you guys want to come up? And the Lord brought Scott and Crystal into our circle 2 years ago. I started getting to know Scott and the elders and realized his passion, his burden to plant churches and to be used somewhere. So it was easy, because that was our vision, to invite Scott to come to Oakdale, to be a part of us, be one of our pastors, and knowing that at some point God would likely call them away to plant a church somewhere, and because that was our vision, also, seemed like a good fit. And it has been. Been a good 2 years having you here. And you've been a blessing to us. Hopefully we've been a blessing to you. And we also, at this moment, we're going to be introducing a Morgantown church plan. But what I want to emphasize is that we are not sending them away from us. We are going with Scott and Crystal to plant a church. We're partnering with them. They're not leaving us. In fact, Scott is scheduled to preach in 2018, just like usual, because they'll be in and out. But they are moving after Christmas, I hear, to Morgantown. So I want to talk a bit about that. And I got some questions here. For Scott and Crystal, this has been a long journey process, so talk to us about that.
Well, I guess the journey probably first became serious in my mind about 2006, when I was returning from living in Thailand for half a year. Just on a plane back in my prayer journal, I asked God, God, by 2020, please help me to plant a church.
Hey, catch your breath there. Hey, would you put that next slide up, please? I was going to... Yeah, this is last Sunday. Remember, fill the earth? Oh, where are the rest of the verses? I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. So, yeah, 2006, I already heard, I felt a seed in my heart to plant a church, and I thought that was going to be overseas. Fast forward, get married to this missional lady, and then eventually, a couple years later, we start making plans to move to northern Thailand, close to China, to hopefully plant a church. And then through losing our daughter, we kind of stopped that vision. And then it's not like I just had a quick vision. We're like, hey, let's go to Morgantown. This has been something that for about 2 years has been kind of people coming to us and like kind of asking us if we would consider church planting domestically here in America. And just books I've read, articles I've come across, there's a great need and there's great opportunities in church planting here to impact the nations with the message of Christ. And so we had a discernment team, 5 men we respect, that kind of helped us pray through it. At one point, we were kind of between Columbus and Morgantown. And after praying and stuff, and processing, we came down to God is calling us to Morgantown, and we're going to go forward, and we're going to, by God's grace, plant a church that will plant other churches.
Okay, great. So one of the things about church planting I've read and heard, and I think it's true, is that without the support of a spouse, a wife that is not only supportive but engaged, without that, it'll likely fail. So, Crystal, you're engaged, you're supporting. Talk to us about that. Even though the text for next Sunday, jumping ahead, includes this phrase that women should not speak in church, they should remain silent. I'll explain what that means and why it's okay to allow Crystal to speak next Sunday. Come back for that. But anyway.
Yeah, like Scott said, it definitely has been a journey for us. And of the other places that we thought that we were being called to go and were making plans to go and all of that, I was following Scott. I didn't really have any good reasons why this wasn't a good idea, and he felt called, and so I was following him there, and there were exciting aspects of it, but it was not really burning inside of my heart. It didn't seem like the right time or the right place or something. I definitely didn't have complete peace about that. And then he has had a coach through this process as well, who is a church planter. And Dr. King said during one of his sessions that it's vitally important that both Scott and me be 100% on board, full out for this church plant if this is going to work, because it's going to be hard. And at that point, I realized that I do have a problem because I wasn't feeling that for the places that we were considering. So I was praying about that. And as things with various means, the direction started sort of changing and settling on Morgantown, I definitely have that sold out 100%, very excited and on board about moving to Morgantown and planting a church. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's such a precious verse to me for hard times and for exciting times like this. And I'm just very grateful that I have the peace that this is definitely what we're supposed to do, and I'm very sold out.
All right, great. And I and the elders and a lot of others at Oakdale have been a part of praying and just sensing, affirming both of you in this journey. So one thing I've heard about Morgantown is that there's lots of good churches there, lots of gospel churches there. Does Morgantown need another church? Why would you go to Morgantown, and do they need another church?
Well, because we'll plant the right kind of... I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
The church.
No, it's true. There are some really great churches in Morgantown. Chestnut Ridge is doing a great work over there. But there's something that happens statistically, and especially if like existing churches can like partner with these new church plants, this new brings some new energy, brings new passion to the area. But there's also this kind of like great need in Morgantown. If you look at the census data from Morgantown, it is an incredible place of need. There's a lot of people that are leaning on humanism, or they're atheists. It's a university town, which brings a lot of great economics, but it also brings a lot of secular thinking and a lot of dependence on humanity. And so there's a great need still, even with the good God-centered churches, Jesus-centered churches, is still a great need to impact Morgantown so that then these people can go forth and impact the nations with the message of Christ.
So there is a need. There's a lot of people that don't know Jesus, and again, statistically, one of the most effective ways to reach unchurched is through a new church plant, a new work. So, we, most of us, know enough about farming that if a farmer has an empty grain bin right now and he says, in 8 months, a year from now, I'm going to fill that grain, that grain bin with corn, there's a process that you go through. You get that. Now, so you want to fill a building with people that worship Jesus, a church. How do you go about planning a church?
Well, we want to fill the whole city with fruit, I guess, if you want to say it that way. But there's a lot of parallels that between farming and church planting. And so, like, before you can plant a seed, you want to cultivate the ground. And in this setting, we're going to prayer walk. We're going to ask you guys to pray. We're going to rally the troops to pray in order to cultivate the ground, the spiritual ground, in order for then the seeds to be planted. And then when it comes to planting time, we're going to just try to liberally throw out the seeds, like Dan Beiler said a few weeks ago when he was here. Just throw them out, and they're not all going to sprout and grow and bring fruit, but some of them will take root, and some of them will have the seed of the gospel planted, and then will bear much fruit and multiply that, and disciples will be made and developed and go forth and impact the nations with the message of Christ. And then, obviously, So there are parallels, is what I'm trying to say. And the harvest is ripe and ready. There's a lot of people that need Jesus just 45 minutes to an hour away from here. And we're going to go try to welcome them in to the kingdom.
It was really exciting for me, and the story's too long for now, but I thought about this when you were saying, why another church? Aren't there plenty? But in our first night over there, looking for houses, we had kind of a bum evening of very unsuccessful house hunting. But we went to dinner, we met a waitress, we shared what was going on. She's super excited. She wants to join up with the church. She is a Catholic and is just not feeling like she's getting closer to Jesus in that. And it was just really exciting to meet her. We've been praying for her. She's had answered prayer already in the request that she has given to us. And it's
share that story. I think that's
shall
worth
I?
It.
Okay. Yeah. So in that night at the restaurant, we talked to her, and Scott shared with her about what grace is, and it's not based upon what we do at all. And God calls us, and we receive His grace. And she just got really excited and just wished that her priest would talk to her like that, because then she could understand what he was saying. And so Scott asked what we could pray for her, and she asked that we pray that she could have another baby. Her and her husband have one child, and they would have liked to have another. So we were praying for that for a few months, and we did the negotiation on our house the beginning of October, and we got the text back the beginning of October from our real estate agent saying the offer's been accepted, congratulations, et cetera, et cetera. Not 2 minutes after we got that text from our real estate agent, we got a text from this Megan saying, thanks for reaching out to me. I'm really excited to tell you that we're expecting a baby in May. Thanks for praying. So that was just really confirming.
Well, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. And if anyone would like to have a baby and is praying after the service,
we'll pray for you. Fill the earth with kids.
So the word is that the disciples were likely in their late teens, early 20s. They were young, they were foolish, they were zealous, and they were bold, and they went out. And in some ways, you guys are young, bold. I wouldn't use the word foolish at all. But
you can say that if you want.
But no, I don't believe that. But Crystal, what we sing this song, Savior, you can move the mountains, or God is whatever that says. But what's a mountain you're praying about in this whole endeavor?
That's a really good question. Probably just that I would. So we're going from, and maybe this seems minor, but we're going from 2.5 acres, a little bit off the road where Abiel has just run and played and loved every minute of it, and I don't feel like I need to stand by the window watching him play outside. Of course, I check in on him. And now we're going to a housing development, and there's a lot of exciting things about that, but we are not on 2.5 acres. And so I guess just praying that we would find good space to play, and that I would know how to not be a helicopter parent hovering over my kid. But that he could, that our kids could still play and I could still do life well. So that's one thing that I'm praying about. And while we are really excited about leaving, there are hard things about leaving, and Oakdale is definitely one of them. And the junior youth is probably maybe the hardest thing for me to leave. And I live 1/4 mile from my parents, which is very convenient to call grandma on last minute to come stay with the kids or something. So just those, I think, different dynamics to get used to in everyday life.
All right, something to pray about. Scott, you?
Well, I think something that God has really kind of helped me get through this leadership conference I was at in Atlanta recently was just fear of failure. Before this conference, I was in his class in Atlanta. I sat right next to this church planter who had planted a church, grew it to 200, had some issues, and failed. And I was like, man, I was coming to this class to get encouraged and whatever, and now I sit next to a failed church planter. And it just kind of brought up the fear of failure again. But then God kind of answered some of that prayer of getting past that. And I realized that it's not my job to build the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. And so it's my job to put myself into position of church planting and to put myself out there and make myself available. And I just, I guess my prayer or my prayer request for you is to pray that God would somehow like keep me focused and like do the kind of the hard spiritual work in order to let God's power do the thing. Like, I'm not going to do the thing. God's power is going to do the thing. But I know that there's a battle going on in the spiritual realm, and I need just protection, and I need your prayers in order that I can stay focused and be used of God to do this.
All right. So, again, we know how to pray. Well, Oakdale is planting a church in Morgantown. We are commissioning Scott and Crystal to go. They're a part of us. They will remain a part of us. And we will walk with them in this journey. We will pray. They will be back regularly, Sunday mornings, other times. And we'll see how we can partner with them so that God will grow a church, build his church. And we will, as this verse says, we will be witnesses in Morgantown together. So we'll keep talking to you about this, about how we can partner. And go ahead.
Can I say this yet? And I just want to say, like, we are, like, committed to this thing. And I want to be caught failing wholeheartedly rather than a half-ish success, if you know what I mean. So I can, like, learn the lessons and move on to something else if I would fail. But I just believe that God has a great plan. God wants to do something significant in the kingdom in Morgantown, and we're going to dive right in, and we're asking for your help. We're asking for your support.
Good. Anything else? Let's pray. So, Jesus, we pray that we receive your calling on us to fill the earth with your glory, and you have called every one of us here in this room to be your witnesses wherever we go. And we believe that you have laid this burden on Scott and Crystal and called them to go to Morgantown. And so we ask for the release of your Holy Spirit gifts on them to do the work that you're calling them to do. Empower them. And as you led the disciples, the Apostle Paul, in his journeys from here to there, clearly led him, we pray you, your Holy Spirit will go before them and open doors, close doors, lead them to people of peace, to people that need Jesus, that they can be witnesses there, and that we together can be used by you to fill the earth with your glory. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks. And we'll be keeping in touch and talking more about this. I invite you to stand now for the reading of the Word, and whoever is reading, I didn't look. There you are, Leonard. Thank you.
We'll be reading from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 21. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, since you are precious, I just now read that, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witness to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand when I act. Who can reverse it? This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again. Extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge this morning that you alone are God, you are alone our Savior. There is no one other than you. And we, Father, we just bend our knee and acknowledge that you are King of all. And Lord, above everything else, thank you so much for loving us. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Hey, good morning. It's good to be in God's house again this morning. Thank you for coming out and filling up the church. It's good to see you this morning. I have a message to share with you this morning that is kind of buried deep in my heart. This is, if it's true that every preacher has one sermon that he preaches in different ways, this is my sermon not preached in any different way. This is my heart. This is who I am. And so this morning, you don't have to even kind of get through the extra stuff I'm saying. This is just who, this is my passion. This is my my heart, I guess I'll say. And I'm also really ADD, so I got to just share this, just get it out of the way. So during worship, while we were singing worship, right in front of us, Joe was sitting right there. And right between the chairs is this really sharp pencil sticking up in between the two chairs. And Crystal's like, should I move it? I'm like, well, I kind of want to see what happens. So she reached forward and moved it, and I didn't get to see what's going to happen. But we're in Isaiah 43, which is, this is not, I don't have any videos. I usually have a video for the millennials or a joke, and I didn't plan any jokes here this morning during the between services. Somebody came up and gave me a joke, so I'll share that. And that is that who does a farmer call on to take care of his farm while he's on vacation? And the answer is the pharmacist. That's for you, Keith. So anyway, let's get back to scripture. I'm sorry for the distraction. Would you forgive me, please? Hey, we're in Isaiah 43. This is the chapter that I have camped out on for years. I've been preparing this sermon for many years. Whenever I lead a missions trip overseas, this is the passage I go to for the orientation. This is the passage I go to for the debriefing. This is the Old Testament. This isn't the New Testament where things are easier to understand and stuff. The gospel is just said in very clear language. But this is the gospel package, kind of the spreading of the gospel package in the prophet Isaiah. from the Old Testament. And we also, before we dive in, and I'm not going to have a PowerPoint or anything, I'm just going to go verse by verse all the way down through and skip over a few because we don't have time to go as deep as I'd like to go. I'd love to sit here for 2 hours and we just have this conversation around this chapter, but we don't have time for that. But let's consider the context of this passage, Isaiah 43, and that is Isaiah, I think it's chapter 6, when Isaiah shares when he gets into the throne room around the glory of God. He's just in the presence of God, and he says, "Woe is me, oh man, I am undone, I'm a man of unclean lips." He is taken back by his brokenness because he is in the presence of an almighty, all-knowing, everywhere present God, and he is blown away at his awesomeness. He says, "Woe is me, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips." And then the angel brings the coal, the burning coal, and cleans his lips. And then eventually he says, "Who can I send to say about this great news?" And then Isaiah the prophet says, "Here am I, send me." Like he offers himself. He doesn't say, "Here am I, send her," or "Here am I, send my servant." He says, "Here am I, send me. I'll go do the work. I'll go be your witness. I'll go speak on behalf of you." And so that is the context of this passage. And kind of a motif woven throughout the book of Isaiah is this: you are my witnesses, and you are, like, your, as a chosen people of God, it's your job to go make much of the name of Jesus. It's your job to go increase the glory of God. And so we're going to just go down through the passage. I'll make comments as we go. If you have a phone or a Bible, please go to Isaiah chapter 43. We'll just see what goes, or how this this goes. But it says in Isaiah 43, the heading, if your Bible has headings, probably says something like Israel's only Savior. And so that's important to consider. This is the prophet speaking to God's chosen race. This is the Israel, the chosen people. Now remember, these are the people that came from a kingdom that was glorious from an earthly perspective. This is the kingdom. These are the descendants of the people that lived, that were part of the Davidic kingdom, the kingdom that David set up. This is the people that were part of the glorious reign of Solomon when there's great wealth and great honor in the kingdom of Israel. But now it's not looking so hot. But now this is the prophet speaking hope and redemption into God's chosen people. And now as New Testament or New Covenant believers, we too are part of this kind of chosen race because we are called by His name. So check it out. Verse 1, Isaiah 43. "But now this is what the Lord says." So this is God speaking through the prophet. And He says, "He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you." Okay, so let's stop right there. God, and this isn't news for anybody, but He says it twice in the first verse. He's trying to make a point. He who created you, He who formed you. So God has created you. He knows you intimately. He knows exactly what you are, who you are, what you're gifted with. He knows the ins and outs. And he didn't make a mistake. He was intentional in creating you exactly how He created you. So that's, let's just keep going here. "I have summoned you by name." Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the line. "Fear not," He says, "for I have redeemed you." So God is saying, don't fear through the prophet. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." Basically, He's saying, I bought you back. I created you and I've created you perfect, but then there's this fall of humanity and then He had to go redeem. So he bought you back. He purchased you with His blood. There was a transaction that happened and God Himself bought you back. And so I've summoned you by name. You are mine. Not only did He buy you back, but He summoned you by name. He knows your name. There's something personal. There's something intimate that happens when you know somebody's name, when you call people by name. So God, Almighty God, knows your name. If you are chosen by Him, He knows your name. He's the owner of you. He says, you are mine. So let's go on here in verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And when the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So basically he's saying, hey, you're going to go through a lot of really tough situations. You're going to go through a lot of junk. You're going to be pressed back against the wall when you don't think you're going to make it anymore. It's going to be really tough. Who wants to walk through water that's flowing? But it says here, there's a promise. It's not going to sweep over you. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. You're going to go through the fire. You're going to go through tough, heated situations, but you're not going to get overwhelmed. In fact, in Psalm 16, he says, I have set the boundary lines in pleasant places for you. It's David reflecting on how God has set the boundary lines in pleasant places. It's almost like we have this enemy, Satan, who's trying to take us down. He's trying to keep us from reaching the next level. Because you know, whenever we go to the next level, there's new devils that try to keep you down. And so he's saying in Psalms there, I've set the boundary lines in pleasant places. He's put the reach or the grasp of Satan on a leash, and he's set a boundary line. You can't be overwhelmed if you are kind of partnered with the power of God. You can't be overwhelmed. The rivers aren't going to sweep over you. You're going to have some really tough situations and times, but they're not going to overwhelm you. Okay, so let's go on down to, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight. Check it out. You are precious and honored in God's sight. So, precious and honored, not only that, but in God's sight. There's something special, there's a connection that's made when you see somebody eye to eye, when you look at somebody and in their eyes. And now, we are precious and honored in God's sight. God is looking at you. He sees you. And you're precious and honored because you've been redeemed. You've been bought back. You're precious and honored because I love you, he says. And he says, I give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Now he says something very similar that he says in verse 2. In verse 1. He says, do not be afraid. Earlier he said, fear not. So he's saying the same thing in different words for repetition. He says, do not be afraid. This is verse 5. For I am with you. And then he says, I will bring your children from the east and from the west, and say to the north, give them up, and from the south. There's just going to be people coming from everywhere, every direction, to be bought back by this glorious message. So people from all over the world. And that's one of the reasons that me and Crystal love Morgantown so much, and why we're drawn to Morgantown, because people are coming from the ends of the earth to study and to try to develop a career in Morgantown because of the university and because of the hospital. There's nurses coming from all over the world to try to fill the shortage of nursing right there at Ruby Memorial Hospital. And there's this great opportunity of impacting the nations with the message of Christ right there in Morgantown. They're coming from everywhere and they're learning the language that we speak, and we don't have that language barrier. So it's a great opportunity. So anyway, and that, now I'm getting down to verse 7. It says, verse 6, bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. And now this is the punchline. This is what I want. This is the message that I want to leave with you. Verse 7, everyone who is called by my name. That means everyone, not just some of you who are called by God's, called by my name. Not just a few, but this everyone. So it's all inclusive who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. That is your mission. That is your purpose. That is your reason for existence. You exist to bring about glory to God. You are made for God's glory. It's a story of His glory. That is the purpose of your existence. And then he says it again. He says, whom I formed and made. So many times throughout this, he emphasizes that you are created by God. There's a level of ownership. Not only that, but then he bought you back after Satan came in and influenced. But now he's bought you back, and then he reminds you that you are created by God for his glory. That is your purpose for existence, for the glory of God. And we're going to have to keep marching here. But before I go on in the passage, I just want to say about this reason for existence. For every God, God has intentionally made you and put you exactly where you are. He's given you the setup. He's given you the tools, the time, the treasures, the talents. He's given you exactly what He's given you in order to produce or to give you a setup or a platform in order to deliver your punch for the kingdom of God. Whenever there's a setup, whenever God sets something up, He doesn't do it just because it happened. He doesn't do it because somebody tried real hard, but He did it in order for you to deliver your punchline to this world. So if you're a great businessman, that is awesome. I love it. Go make millions of bucks for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. There's crossroads that you come to in life that you can choose. Am I going to do what I want to do? Am I going to do the comfortable thing? Or am I going to do the thing that God has called me to do in order to increase the glory of God? There's these decisions you make in life, or sometimes they're ambiguous and they're more like wise rather than crossroads. But they ultimately will bring more glory to yourself or more glory to God. You have a lot of these decisions that you make in life. And I just want to encourage you and ask you to consider as the glory of God, as your purpose for existence, as your reason for living in this world, and this your mission to bring about glory to the only Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. And He says this going on in this chapter, it was read to us earlier, there is no other Savior. Morgantown, if you look at the census data, there is a lot of different religions, there's a lot of different faiths in Morgantown. But there is only one that is salvific. There is only one that is actually going to save in the ultimate sense. There's a lot of different ways of thinking. There's a lot of different ways that people are trying to reach out to God or do religion or whatever. But there is only one salvific, and that is Jesus. And you have that message. We have that message. We have that that eternally valuable message. And He says here, check it out. We're not going to go through every verse here because of time, but check it out. He says, you're going to do things that are a miracle. He says in verse 8, the end of verse 8. No, let's just start at 8. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, those who have ears but are deaf. So you're going to do impossible things, He says. You're going to do things that don't make any sense. And then He goes down. Let's see, in verse 10, He says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Again, God intentionally chose you and called you by name. Getting ahead of myself. But you are His servant, you are chosen by God to be His witness. And whatever you're doing, whether you're being that pharmacist or whether you're a construction laborer or manager, whether you're working, doing chimneys, whatever you do it to the glory of God. If you're raising kids, if you're whatever positions you have in society or in culture, do it to the glory of God. Make much of the name of Jesus. And like I said, whenever there's repetition, there's a reason for it. He's making a point. He's trying to say, this is really important. And He says it again here. So in verse 10, we have, you are my witnesses. Then going down to verse 12, He says, I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, and not some foreign god among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. So that's what we're witnesses of. We are witnesses of the fact that He is God. And there's this kind of taunting that Isaiah puts out there to the foreign gods. He said, there is no other God out there like me. I'm the most powerful. And then He says that I'm the only one that saves. And then He says, you are my witnesses of this great and glorious news that I am the only way, that God or Jesus is the only way. We are His witnesses of this great fact. And then I love this in verse 13. Yes, and from the ancient days I am He, and no one can deliver out of my hand. And when I act, who can reverse it? In other words, I'm the most powerful. If I act, if my spirit goes and moves in Salisbury, nobody's going to reverse it. If God acts, nobody can come against that and can reverse it. And there's this kind of all-powerful activity that happens when the Spirit of God moves. Nobody can come against that. It's this great power, when it's released, it is dynamic far greater than any other power known to man or any other religious system or spirits out there, because God is almighty and he has done this great thing of buying people for his glory. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you are part, under the new covenant, you have been chosen by his name. You are part of this great and glorious mission, this charge to fill the earth with his glory to the ends of the world. We are called to fill his glory, to make much of the name of Jesus, to exalt the name of Jesus. So check it out. Let's just keep going down through here. Let me see. I love this. Let's jump down to verse 18. It says there, forget the former things. And when I read that line, I'm like, wait a minute, forget the former things. Didn't I just read recently that he says, remember what I did in the past? And the answer is yes. God does say that in Scripture. Remember what I did. Remember the powerful things I did. Like he encourages the children to remember how they were brought through the Red Sea and to create this kind of altar to remember this thing. But there's this tension in Scripture. He says, don't just camp out in the past. Don't just only do that. But check this out. Verse 18, he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The prophet Isaiah is saying, come on, can't you get it? I'm doing a great thing. I'm doing a new thing. It's an exciting work that's happening. And just open up your eyes and see what I'm doing. See what I'm doing. I'm doing a great work. And Crystal and I are believing that God is going to do a new thing with the kingdom of God in Morgantown, West Virginia. We're going to do the best we can to just partner with God to do the miracle that we can't do. And check it out. What is the new thing that he's doing? It's speaking figuratively here, but check it out in verse, see, I'm doing a new thing, 19. See, I'm doing a new thing, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? This is the new thing that God is doing. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Check it out, a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. This is the impossible. Things are going to happen, he's saying, that doesn't make sense. Streams don't happen in the desert. It's a desert because there hasn't been water. But things are going to happen that don't make sense. Miracles are going to happen. And that's exactly what happens when there's this glorious transaction in the spiritual realm, when God reaches down and kind of purchases back people for his kingdom and for his glory and makes much of his kingdom. That's the miracle that happens. He brings life into the lifeless situations. He brings hope into the hopeless situations. He brings water where there has never been water, where things are dried up and brittle and there's just no life because there hasn't been water for years. But now, this is the new thing that God is doing. And all over the world, God is sending forth water where there hasn't been water, spiritually speaking. He's bringing the kingdom into places that haven't been reached. And we believe that there's people in Morgantown, West Virginia, just 1 hour away from here, that God wants to bring hope into hopeless situations, bring life into lifeless situations, and bring the gospel ultimately for the glory of God to a people that have not yet heard and believed in the great news and the great name of Jesus. And this is the new thing that we believe that God wants us to do. And we're going to lean in and we're going to do the best we can to make that happen by his grace. It's not because of us. It's not because of our effort. But it's just us saying, hey, we're going to make ourselves available. We're going to lean into it. We're going to dive in and see what God is going to do. Jesus said, I will build my church, and hell's not going to prevail against it. And so it's not ultimately my strength or my intellect, my power that's going to do it, but Jesus is going to do it. So the worship team can come up here, and I just want to bring emphasis to this last verse I didn't read yet. Isaiah 43, verse 21. And remember verse 7, he says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And that is your mission statement. That is your purpose of existence, to live for his glory And verse 21 says, it's very similar, again, repetition, very similar to verse 7. He says, the people I formed for myself, so he did it for himself and he formed it, so he's the creator, that they may proclaim my praise. And praise and glory are very closely related. And that's what we do when we bring glory to God. We praise the name of Jesus. We exalt. We make much of. We make just famous the name of Jesus. We do the best we know how by the way we live, the things that we speak, to praise the name of Jesus. And that is why you live. That's why you exist. And I just want to pray towards that end, and I pray that this church and the churches between here and Morgantown and everywhere would just make much of the name of Jesus. So Jesus, we just thank you for calling us out, to redeeming us, buying us back. Thank you for the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and we praise you for how you have provided this ultimate salvation, salvific news in Christ. And we pray that you would take each of our own individual setups and help us to know how to deliver our punch in this world in order to impact the nations with the message of Christ. We just recognize our purpose as your witnesses who increase your glory by the way we live our lives, and help us to know what the right thing is to do, and give us the strength and the courage to do it too. So God, would you glorify yourself in our hearts and lives this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for your attention this morning.